Hugo Lloris is good. I don't think that's breaking any news today here on LAFC Plus, but it is the truth. LAFC get a 0-0 draw at home. Not the greatest result. Hugo Lloris was a massive part of that. He was the difference in this match for me, and he keeps the clean sheet, his first for LAFC, and it was a big one, Mario. That LAFC and Sporting Kansas City both had chances. To me, this game, if this game is played in September, it might have been 4-3.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Six big saves from Hugo on the night, earning him man of the match on that one. I mean, the 37-year-old still showing his athletic abilities, Dave, having to jump up to save a shot from Johnny Russell up on the top shelf.
Yep.
And then he took a shot off the chest from the goalpost on one of the saves when he was blocking Memo Rodriguez. And then he saved a goal from Pulido, his 1v1, and he got to that one. It was a well-deserved clean sheet for Hugo on that one, for sure.
Well, when you said the 37-year-old was making big saves, I thought you were talking about Tim Melia at first, too. He had five big saves for the 37-year-old for Sporting Kansas City. Eduard Atuesta breaking in. Things could have changed all the way around. I think it could have been 4-3 if these keepers didn't play well. Or maybe if the finishing was, you know, picking out a corner a little bit better, you know, or, you know, maybe some of the plays that building up to chances or half chances would have been a little crisper later in the year. Who knows this game, but in any event, it could have been 4-3 on the night if these keepers didn't play that well also. So I think it was a pretty fair result. I don't like it when you're at home, you can't drop points. I know you're playing. I don't care who you're playing. If you're LAFC, so it's not a good result, but it was a fair result in my estimation. And I think it was a good match, you know, for a neutral 0-0. Sometimes those are lame. No question. You know, this was not this was not a lame game, even for a neutral though. You know?
Yeah. The chances were there for sure. Yeah, just absolutely. The finishing was just not there. And I got one quick message to Denis. I'm sure he knows this already. But just stay patient. The chances are going to find the back of the net very soon. And Denis, I mean, he hasn't scored in the first three matches of the season, but you can't let that mess with you mentally, Denis. The goals are coming, and when they do, the rest of the league got to watch out because the defenses look good. Defenses look good for LAFC, and of course, we throw out that RSL match in the snow, and when Denis gets cooking, I mean, watch out.
Yeah, I agree. He's hitting posts. He did that a lot last year, too, although, you know, he also scored 38 goals or whatever, you know, so they'll come. And it's probably going to be the case where over the next four games, he has like seven goals or something, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or he'll go on a three game stretch with seven goals and it'll be like, whoa, you know, and it just, that's just the way he is. But he's consistent. And right now he's hitting the post. That's just all. That's the bottom line. He's getting the chances. He's putting himself in good spots. He's hitting the ball well. Welcome to LAFC Plus. This is our weekly podcast here. Dave Denholm with you, along with the great Mario Rees. And if you don't know us by now from anywhere else, we are the voice of LAFC. I do the English radio play-by-play. I'm sure just about everybody knows that who's listening to this, watching this on YouTube. But we appreciate it. Mario, of course, is the producer there. He's the co-host here with me as the co-host of LAFC Plus. I can't believe it's episode four, Mario. This is how the season
episode
goes,
right? Episode four, Davey.
Yeah.
Episode four, Davey.
You get on that role?
Is it cool if I call you Davey? I know some of your close, your family calls you that. Sometimes I call you that, Davey.
Yes. I mean, you know, my mother, who obviously is not with us anymore, she's the only other person in the world who calls me Dave or called me Davey. Oh. So you've always done it.
I love it.
You've always called me that. So
yeah. So now anybody who listens to the podcast or views this podcast, if you see Davey in the stadium, say, "Hey, what's up, Davey?" And that way we know you are from the LAFC Plus podcast. How about
that? You didn't let me finish. You those two people, my mother and you, were the only two people I ever let call me Davey. So that's it. No, thank you. No, I don't mind.
No, you're going to get it now. Yeah. Everybody go say what's up to Davey.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It's fine. But you were the only two who ever did. So this is LAFC Plus. We're happy that you're with us. Leave some comments if you want to hit us up on Twitter at Talk Soccer at I am Mario Rees. Right? That spelled like his name. Also, what's your? Is it the same on Instagram for you? I keep forgetting. But
same on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. Everything. Yep.
Okay. I'm only on Ruiz. Twitter with at Talk Soccer. Instagram Dave_Denholm spelled like my name. If you want to join us there, people have been commenting, Mario, about that RSL snow game. A lot of the comments we got on the last YouTube channel were like, hey, move on. And that's what we said. You know, I mean, it's, it happened, it, you know, like you don't want to belabor it, but I do want to bring it back real quick to something before we break down the Sporting Kansas City game a little further.
Yeah.
It's the Philadelphia Union match with Seattle, right? They're in Philly, torrential rain, horrific, terrible field conditions. They postponed the match in like the 6 minute. What? Where's the, is that not the same situation? I mean, I don't understand. Everybody was like, well,
the right call was made, right?
Yeah. Like, look at the field conditions. It was terrible. They couldn't play soccer. Well, that's what we were saying just a week ago. I mean,
exactly.
For me, yes, you should have postponed both of those matches. That's fine that they postponed this, the Philadelphia match. I'm not mad at that. And it's not like the Union or Seattle are to blame for that, or even MLS for making that call. Fine. But you can't then say a week later, like, well, this match was bad enough that you should. Like, it makes no sense. Just be consistent. Sense at all. I mean, so that's all we're going to say on that. It's over. Again, RSL won. They deserved it. LAFC takes the loss. You move on. But it's the in. I mean, that was less than a week later. Where's the consistency? That makes no sense. It wasn't lightning, right? It wasn't because, like, they just had lightning for 12 hours straight and they had to postpone the match. They don't, they wait for lightning, right? It was the field.
Right.
It was the field conditions. Wow. So enough about that. And it, some of the comments were great. I understand those comments. Move on until you see the next week. This wasn't like in August or something where we've forgotten the RSL match. The very next week. Oh, wow. I mean, it's just, that's honestly, it's funny. And I know Steve Cherundolo probably doesn't think it's funny, or LAFC's players, or I get that. Like, I understand, but it is, it's really kind of comical in a, I shouldn't say funny. It's laughable in a not so funny way, if that makes sense. It's like, it's not funny.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. Isn't that what they say?
Funny,
if you don't
laugh, you'll cry. It's funny, ironic. You know, it's not funny, haha, by any means. But so we'll move on. So reviewing the Sporting KC game, you heard us talk about this already. Hugo Lloris was incredible. But I'm starting to expect that from him, if I'm being honest. He's looked really sharp. So that's great.
Get used to it.
Good defensive work, no question, for both teams. But there were chances, as Mario said. Mario's right about that. I mean, there were opportunities, Mario. But I'll say this, and I don't mean this in disparaging. I'll explain myself. I don't mean to disparage John McCarthy and Maxime Crépeau in the least. Great keepers. By the way, both making some pretty big saves already through the first few weeks of MLS for their other teams, who shall go nameless right now.
Both playing but well, both teams both playing well.
Yeah. I'm not taking, you know, we would have lost that match on Saturday without Hugo Lloris in there. That's all I'll say. And the way I mean that is, yes, the saves were good. They weren't like the toughest saves Lloris has ever had to make by any. This guy's had a long and storied career playing in World Cup finals. I get that. But it's just, I am amazed at how he makes the even tougher saves look so routine at times. So he's just at a different level. That's the way I'll put it. And we're already seeing that. Now, is he going to make mistakes along? Of course, every player, it doesn't matter who you are. I saw Lionel Messi miss a shot the other day, if you could, you know, believe that. But, you know, so yes, it happens. I mean, he's going to make, you know, mistakes. The communication's excellent immediately with Lloris. Right? That takes time to build. Yeah. And even when LAFC have had that communication, honestly, up until right now, Crépeau and McCarthy were the best goalkeepers we've ever had, in my opinion. I mean, they fixed the position and then some. So full credit to them. Without either one of those guys, we don't win an MLS Cup in 2022.
Exactly. I mean,
they deserved every bit of what they've got. And
But
Hugo Lloris, we don't win on Saturday. Well, let's say, you know, I shouldn't just say we don't exciting. Win. We didn't win. We lose on Saturday. 1-0.
Yeah, you know what's just exciting about his saves is also the way he starts the attack. His quick outlet passes to Oliveira or Bawanga or Bogush. That's also very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's a huge advantage for the black and gold to get that going that quickly like that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's great stuff. That's a good way to put it, actually. So, but we move on to talk a little bit more about this match with you, Mario. You talked with Ilya Sanchez right before or after the match, I should say, on 710 ESPN on the right after the match before the post game show. We go down to the pitch at BMO Stadium, and you had this conversation with Ilya Sanchez immediately after the 0-0 draw with Sporting KC.
A team you know very well, Sporting KC. What made them so difficult tonight?
Well, I think that we had our chances to score. It is important that we didn't give up a goal, and I think that always at home you're looking for the 3 points, and obviously if we don't score our chances, it's going to be difficult for us to get the three. We tried. Kansas City is a very good team, solid from many years ago, and I think that they came here like not changing their game model, and that's what makes them difficult to play against. But still, I think we had our chances, and just being a little bit more clinical on top would have made the difference.
I saw you speaking with the refs there as they were walking off. What was that conversation like with the refs?
No, I think that we were looking for more rhythm. For them and for us, I think that the fouls that they were calling were too soft. Just for them to keep improving. We know that they are new to this league, but some of them, but still we are here to help. For next time, if they can just be, let the game develop and play and look more like a football game, that's what we were talking here at the end.
Another tough one on the road next week. You guys go to Minnesota United. What can we expect out of that one?
We need to win. It's time for us to win on the road. We will try to recover the next 48 hours and then prepare the game as we were going to play at home. We have to be brave. We have to keep improving in our game and go for the win in Minnesota or wherever we are playing.
Thanks for the time, as always, Ilya.
Thank you, Mario.
Yeah, so there you go. Ilya always good with the interviews.
Yeah.
Always gracious with his time. Yeah, he had a couple of interesting points there. Talking about the refs a little bit there. I also had a little bit of questioning there with the stoppage time. We only had 3 minutes of added time at the very end of the match. And I feel like there should have been one corner kick there before the final whistle.
I see. Yeah, LAFC, in case you're wondering, LAFC had a corner kick at the death. But the referee didn't let that go on. Like, he didn't let that take place. I completely disagree with you on that point, Mario. Okay. We don't always see eye to eye on this show. That's part of the beauty of it. I didn't think there should be 3 minutes of stoppage time. There was one substitute made in the whole game for either team. Like, LAFC made the sub. No subs for Sporting KC. No goals. No big injuries. No real significant injury time in that sense. So I don't think... two teams got it on. You know, they just went at it. And for that, it was a good match. It was crisp. It was moving. I agree with you guys, with both you and Ilya and you, Mario, about, a little bit more consistency. But they were consistent in a sense, the referees. Yeah. Now, Ilya didn't love it, and I can see the player's point maybe. Like, they want it to be a little tougher, you know, not so many fouls. But he did call them for both sides that way. So
I think the replacement refs have done a decent job, a good job so far.
Yeah, they're fine.
But getting used to the style of the way that they're going to call the game is a real thing that I think teams around MLS just have to get used to.
No, you're 100% right. 100% right. It adds to the unpredictability of MLS, which is the next point I wanted to make, by the way. So LAFC 1-1-1, 4 points, very average start. That's fine. Keep moving, you know, it's early part of the season. You just got to keep going, keep grinding. The goals will come, and hopefully the defense continues, obviously, to play well like they did last season and so far this season, and, you know, you keep building up some points. But one thing I got to say about this league overall, not just LAFC, not just the games, people sometimes talk about, oh, it's too unpredictable or it's this or that's the beauty of this league. It's insane, right? And at least for me, some people might not like that. Some people might want a league like the Premier League, which I don't love, in that it's always the same four or five teams. And more importantly, it's really always the same two teams, like you know, essentially. And yes, I know there's been, you know, and everybody points to Leicester City winning it in that magical. That's actually the exception that proves the point. Like, it happened once, okay? And LAFC, you know, MLS, LAFC, you don't know what's going to happen in this league at any moment in some of these games. Now, again, there's great teams. LAFC has been a powerhouse since they joined the league. Seattle, we know the list, right? Great teams lately, even. But they don't. You don't know who's going to win this thing. You don't even know who's going to win in May, let alone in the playoffs or League's Cup or whatever comes about, right? So that's part of the strength to me. I don't want to be a league where it's Man City at the top every year.
Yeah, it's really a league like no other. I mean, because all around the world, it's usually dominated by two or three teams.
That's true.
And then the rest of the league has no shot at finishing at the top.
Yeah, can't just blame the Premier League on that. You're right. I mean, it's worse in some leagues. Look at Germany.
Yeah,
you know, I know that, you know, that might be broken this year, but Bayern Munich is just has had a stranglehold on it. Juventus for a while there in Italy. Now that's changed a bit. That's good. But it's just my preference too. Some people would prefer that the Yankees win every year or the Lakers. I get that. You know, I mean, certainly LA would love to see the Lakers win every year or most of LA. But to me, that's what is a actual positive for this league. We move on to youth movement here, Mario. We take a look at some of the LAFC players, get a little peek. And it wasn't a big week for some of the younger players because, again, only one substitute made early in the season. It was a cool night. Wasn't hard to run around for 90 minutes. I think the kickoff was somewhere like right around 59, 60 degree, perfect night to run. And so there wasn't a lot of substitutions used, but David Martinez was the one of them. And very lively, boy, if he would have just a little bit sharper, been a little, you know, and again, not blaming the kid, his second appearance, first in good weather, 18 years old. We know the story, right? But you can see that he's dripping with talent. He's absolutely loaded with talent. So I had a smile on my face just watching him and calling that. Yeah, maybe he should have laid it off to Denis, you know, or whatever. But that's, again, you're split seconds. That'll come.
I disagree. Well, there you go. Dave.
Take the shot. I got no problem with that.
Because I've been seeing him at training. And there's been opportunities where you could pass to your teammate. But he doesn't do that. He has so much confidence in his game. Even at training, he just takes the shot. And I've been hearing Ante Razov say, good, David, good.
Yeah.
I mean, he is deadly with that left foot. And Ante Razov was feeding him volleys the other day, and he was just hitting some screamers. And even on that play when he checked in, what a run. What a cheeky move by the 18-yard box there by David that almost led to a game winner. Can you imagine if he would have had his first career goal and it would have been a game winner at BMO Stadium? The place would have just
noticed?
The place would just erupted.
I wasn't busy calling the play, right? So maybe I missed a little something there. But I you know what I noticed? Denis Bouwanga is so unselfish. He did not make a big deal of that. He saw the kid make a move. And Denis such a scorer that he sees a move like that. And even in his mind, he's thinking, he deserved to shoot the ball after that, right? You deserve to take the shot. If you're going to make a play like that, okay, you missed. But look, and I'm not comparing these players to David Martinez. He's 18. But Cristiano Ronaldo, Zlatan Ibrahim, they're not passing the ball. The greatest scorers of all, like, if you're going to be a scorer, and again, I'm not comparing his game to those guys by any means, but if you're going to be going after goal and you're going to be the best, you're going to shoot that ball when you make a move.
Yeah, he has that part of the game in his game where he knows he wants to take that shot. He's a killer. And if you notice, Dave, he was rocking the cornrow braids just like Ilya was in game one. And they actually... the stylist, the East LA stylist, she did Ilya's braids and she did David Martinez braids. So it's kind of a thing.
He is fitting into this team though, and he's going to continue that. Another young player who played really well, I thought, was Omar Campos again. Like, look, he had a bit of a rough time in RSL again. We don't care about that match though. He's looked very good at BMO Stadium in both matches. This guy he held up very nicely. And against a Johnny Russell here, by the way.
Yes, I was going to say that. What a tough task.
And even when Russell switches up, it's Daniel Shalloway. You know, like it's like they got two tough wingers. So he had a very tough task, but he held up very well defensively. No doubt about it. Yeah. Young players around MLS who are going to have an impact, Mario. I want to talk about one guy who we haven't mentioned, although it's Inter Miami. So people have Fernando Redondo, the guy, the young player, the former, of course, Redondo, his father, one of the best at the position ever, the number six position. He joins Inter Miami, takes the number 55, which is kind of cool. It's like double, you know, like the like it's like respect to his father and, of course, one of the greatest to play who's playing with now, Sergio Busquets. So they wore the 5. He wears 55. Here's the thing about this kid. First few matches I've seen him now, it's going to sound weird. He hasn't looked good. He's played pretty poorly in my estimation. And yet you see the talent, like he's going to be, he's a great player. He's going to be a great player. But I've seen some, you know, it's just taking some time to get in. You know, he's getting used to it. He should have probably had a red card in the first match he played, to be honest with you. He in my estimation, was kind of responsible for a goal in that match, giving it up earlier in the midfield play against Nashville. So I haven't seen much greatness from him by any means, but he's going to be great. You can just tell. So, again, I'm not trying to pick on him. It takes time, you know, like he's just gotten there. You can't blame him for that. Like you can see that why everybody loves his game. It's pretty easy once you really start to watch. And yet, he still can be so much better. That's the point. Like he hasn't even got rolling yet. So look out. That's a guy I'm going to keep my eyes on, no doubt about it. Best performance from a newcomer in MLS, which maybe we need to change the name of this. I think I came up with this name. It's not exactly
we could do that.
Rocket science here. It's the best performance for a newcomer. I'm not like breaking ground here. But what I mean is, look, there's great performances all around. It's not like we're trying to pick out the best performance from a newcomer. It's more like just spotlighting it. So we'll probably come up with a little different name. One of the spotlighted performances for a newcomer for me, Mario, was Emil Forsberg for New York Red Bull. And was it the best game he's ever played? No, he's a great player. And he'll have better games throughout the year. He got his first goal. And he looks influential. And why I say that is because it's exactly what the Red Bulls have needed. I don't know why they didn't go out and get a player like this earlier. Wasted a couple years, in my opinion. But so be it. That's what, you know, maybe they're waiting for him. Because he is that influential with this team. And boy, they look sharp. Now, Lewis Morgan deserves a lot of credit. He's healthy. Great player. This team, and we're playing them this season. LAFC will get their crack at the New York Red Bulls. This is a tough team. This is a dangerous team because they know how to defend. They're gritty. They're tough as nails. They already had that, you know, in duplicate and triplicate and whatever they needed, they had grit. But now they have some more talent. And we know
Forsberg, he was all over that rainy pitch in New York over the weekend. Dangerous with the free kicks.
Yep.
Dangerous with the corner kicks. He took the PK with all the confidence in the world, finishing on the side netting there. Also picked up the assist later on in that match. And yeah, like you said, Forsberg and the Red Bull will come to BMO Stadium in mid-April. So that's a matchup to look forward to down the line.
It's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, no doubt.
It'll be tough.
Because it's also a team, even before Forsberg, they don't really – they're young, super young they were before Forsberg, you know. But they kind of have that chip on their shoulder, like – we don't care who you are kind of thing. Now, again, they weren't the most talented team, so they weren't going to win MLS Cup or, you know, they barely got in the playoffs last day, but they were scrappy, you know, like they'll punch you in the nose. They don't really care who you are. And that's not always the case for some teams. Some teams are intimidated by other, you know, good teams, like, right? That happens. I mean, we saw it with LAFC even the first few years. There were times when teams were intimidated. And it happens to other great teams. I'm not just picking out LAFC on that, but you could go into a place and we kind of knew we were going to win, bottom line. Now, some of that's changed over the last few years in MLS because the teams are just getting better. There's more talent coming in all the time. But for the Red Bulls, they don't even care if they're not as talented as you. They'll just go punch for punch and see what happens. And now they got Forsberg rocking the post. He probably should have already had his first goal, to be honest with you, but he got his first goal. And yeah, that's a dangerous team. Speaking of other dangerous teams, not going to belabor it too much because I'm not trying to like toot my own horn. You know, I am the most humble man in the world. Once again, let him cook. We told you, if you let him cook, he will cook you a 5-course gourmet meal. And that is the great chef. I'm going to start calling him the chef.
Lorenzo. There you go. Mancini. I like that.
Yeah, he is the chef. Oh, the wonder goal he had again. It's like a broken record. You can go back to the last episode. We're saying that St. Mario, similar goal. This one's even better. than the little chip, which was cheeky as it was. This wonder goal in another 1-0 victory. I'll again contradict myself seemingly, but I'm not contradicting myself. I was probably the only major, like, not major, but I'm the only figure in ML, you know, around covering whatever, talking about the league, who said Toronto was going to be good. I did. They're going to be dangerous.
Yeah, you did.
Look out.
We've talked about Insigne and Toronto on every episode of LAFC Plus so far. And
but here's why I'm talking about them on episode 4. After the wonder goal, Mario, you're going to hear me and you're going to go, Denholm, what are you talking about? Toronto FC is not very good. They're not. They're not a very good soccer team right now. But I also factored that in. And even as I told you they were going to be a tough team, they were going to be a good team, a record-wise, whatever. They're not playing well. They're not. They're playing good defensively, 270 shutout minutes. They're playing great defensively. Their offense is still a mess. They're not even rolling or playing well, like, at all. It's early in the season. That can change, too. But when you have that talent, when you have game changers, they change games.
This is the player that most MLS fans expected to see last season, right?
Amen.
It is just too bad that LAFC doesn't get a chance to face Insigne and Toronto.
Oh, no, it's not.
In the regular
season. That's fine
season.
By me. No, I'm fine
but he's
with
fun
that.
To watch from afar, that's for sure.
Exactly. That's why you get MLS season pass, commercial. And it's not, they're not the, obviously they're not sponsoring this, but that's why you watch him. You're right. Like, he's fun to watch from a distance.
That's why I tune into Toronto. If I'm watching season pass and I see Toronto's playing, I'm clicking in to watch this. And that's what the need. That's what the league needs.
Oh, that's a good bit. Most watchable teams like have a ranking. Forget the rankings, right? It's too early for that. Who cares what the rankings are? But it's most watchable. Most, you know, the team you want to follow for like the neutrals, right? You're going to follow your own club, of course. And if you're a TFC fan, you're lucky because now you're finally starting to see him cook, literally. The chef is here. And we always knew he had the talent, of course. He's been great for years with Napoli. I mean, at the highest levels. I mean, he's an incredible player. Finally starting to click. And full credit to John Herdman. I mean, he's doing a great job. The defense is rock solid. They're not even at their best defensively yet either. I mean, they're not playing good football yet. And yet they have 7 points. And that's where we've talked about it for years. Mario and I have talked about this. If you've heard us, you know, when we used to do another show. This is where it comes down to just grind out points in this league.
Yes.
And it's part of that, you know, unpredictability. Just get any points you can when you can, because these games.
And even more so in the playoffs, Dave.
Oh, it's another level.
Just grind out that win, right? You know?
But but even to get, like, this game, this coming Saturday counts just as much as decision day. But people don't see it that way, right? Because later in the year, no, get points however, whenever you can. And Toronto's doing that. And so is another team as we go around the rest of MLS. We talked a little bit about TFC. You know who else is doing it? The rest of Canada. Oh, Canada! My home and native land, although it's not mine. But wow! Vancouver, a big win. Not unexpected there, but, you know, they go on the road. To Montreal, again, they spend half of their year on the road, it seems, to start the year because of the weather stuff. They always seem to have his long road trip. Laurent Courtois gets another win, Mario, this time against Inter Miami, albeit, yes, I know, Messi didn't play, Suarez came off the bench a little bit. I get it. You know, like, they didn't have their full blah, blah, blah. They got the win, and they grounded out, and they looked pretty darn good. Canada, Mario. Canada is, wow, off to a blistering start here. So our friends in the north, holy cow, they got to be very positive. They got to be feeling good. Now, I know they all hate each other sports-wise, so they're not happy about it necessarily, but only for their own team. But wow, Portland, you know the team I hate the most. Huge comeback. Wow, what a win. In that rain you talked about with the Red Bulls, earlier in the day in New York, it was raining cats and dogs for the NYCFC and Portland match. The goals in that game, wow, just go watch them. Do yourself
Evander.
A favor.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mario, do yourself a favor if you're a football fan, right? And go watch those goals.
Yes.
Because even the earlier, the Antony goal was set up brilliantly. What a firecracker he is for that team. He is playing well. And Portland should have lost that match. Like, they had nothing going on until they started turning it on late, and the NYCFC fell apart. And the thing about NYCFC is, Mario, as you know, people talk about it a lot. They spend that that city group, part of that whole Man City and many other teams, they go out and spend money. Like, they've given NYCFC, now, not every moment of every, like, they don't get every demand they want or whatever. You know, the fans would probably tell you they want to spend more, but they've spent some money and they brought in a lot of talent, and it is not working right now. I mean, it's early. I get it. And it's MLS. And again, the unpredictability might be their friend right now, but because they can turn it around, they've got the talent. They better do it quickly, though. I got to tell you, I wanted to talk about two teams, and Mario, I think you'll appreciate. They're anti-LAFC. All right?
Okay, how so? Who's this?
I'll explain. The two teams are anti-LAFC, not because they hate LAFC. I don't mean it that way. They're the opposite, right? They're the negative, or they have no winning culture whatsoever. LAFC, for whether you hate them or love them, the one thing you have to say about them is it's a winning culture from day one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know that people think that's a cliche in sports. No, it's not. It's hard to find. It's hard to hang on to if you even do have it for a short while, and it's certainly hard to have it for an extended period of time, like LAFC has had, and other teams as in the league, certainly. But yes, I'm comparing them to LAFC here on LAFC Plus. San Jose and Chicago. They are allergic, it seems, to winning. I'll say it as well. Like, they've spent money. San Jose less, certainly. Chicago has sold players for big money, but then they went out and spent it, right? They haven't hoarded that money like they could have, theoretically. You know, like, you don't have to spend money in sports. Like, you know, so yes, I know there's some salary restriction, like floors. Yes, but you know what I'm saying. You don't have to go spend the John Duran money that you got for that huge transfer. They went out and did it. But boy, it is hard to develop that winning culture if you don't have it.
And, Dave, and I'm not saying San Jose and Chicago are huge football markets, yes, too. The potential and they're trying, there in those
they're
markets.
Trying. Both those teams are trying. That's what my point is. Yeah. It is hard to come by if you either lose it or don't have it. If you're trying to build that, it is not easy. And it's it's not easy in this league culture. Either. Oh, no. Man. And they are just
struggling. On the pitch or even in the stands in the stadium. Now, LAFC have made it look super easy, like you were saying, but it takes a lot of people in certain positions to know what they are doing and do it well, from the GM to the coaching staff to the trainer to the players. Even the supporters need to step up and hold the players accountable, you know, if they're not performing well. Make sure that they feel the love, make sure that they feel the support, and when they're not playing well, also let them know as well. But it's definitely hard to build a good football culture, no matter
now,
what market
you're
in.
Before people, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that would listen to this. And even if you want to comment, fine, leave it on the YouTube page or, you know, hit us up on social media. San Jose has punched us in the nose a few times. Of course, we play them twice, right? I mean, they have talent. They're tough to play with against at times, no doubt. It's not about that. Chicago has talent. They went out and spent money. Jerdan Shaqiri still is influential for a very good Switzerland national team. They're not to be messed with. And when he plays with Switzerland, he's not to be messed with. The guy can play. But it's just not working. Like, what? How is it? Because, again, I'm not trying to pick on them. I want to hear from fans of those clubs. What is it? Because it hasn't clicked. They have, both teams have more talent than they're certainly providing in terms of the wins, losses, draws. They just do. They have more talent than they're, and I know they're not the most talented teams. I'm not trying to say they should be winning Supporters Shield yet, you know, and going out and winning the cup. But I mean, wow. And this is not just the first 3 weeks kind of, no, right? We all know this. This is not just me picking on them for 2024. This is systemic. And this is, you know, I do know San Jose, of course, has had their success in MLS. So has Chicago. I get it, but that seems like a long, long, long time ago, because it was. And especially in sports, right? Every year is like 7 years in sports. I mean, it's like dog years. So, wow. That just struck me that it is not easy to come by that winning culture. And we should be grateful as LAFC fans and, you know, building this club. Like, from day one, they've had the winning culture. And it's just, that is not, I don't take that for granted. That's the lesson, because you shouldn't. So Saturday, Mario, what's coming up? We got another big one. We got to win this one. Go on the road. Get our first win on the road. Let's go.
It's another tough road match here for LAFC, heading to Minnesota United. Minnesota United was in a wild one this weekend. Now, they did give up a goal against Orlando City just 15 seconds into the match.
Oh, I know.
But then the Loons struck back right away with a goal in the fourth minute.
Orlando got off to a hot start. Yeah, mm-hmm. Orlando's tough. I mean, and yet they're struggling. I think it's the CCL. We'll talk more about that maybe next episode too. A lot of teams in CCL.
Yeah.
We know that. It's tough when you're trying to balance that. We saw it with Inter Miami, you know, trying to maybe rest some play. We saw Nashville rest 10 players against the Galaxy from their starting lineup at least. Got the 2-2 draw. So, yeah, good luck to all the CCL teams too. It's going to be interesting this week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday matches. We'll talk maybe more about that as the tournament progresses too, but yeah, it is going to be a tricky one, Mario. What time we? When's the pregame again? Sorry.
We get going at 5 p.m. with the pregame on the ESPN LA app, and then kick off shortly after 5:30. 5:30 also on the Apple TV MLS Season Pass. So it's going to be a good one. Minnesota's going to be riding high off of that win. So they'll be bringing it here for the match against LAFC. And the players to look out for, Dave, Langwane, you know, he had the game winner. And then Pookie. Pookie's the man from Finland, had the brace against Orlando over the weekend. And, you know, he likes to call the Pookie party. So hopefully there's no Pookie party, as he likes to call it, on Saturday night in Minnesota.
Yeah, let's ruin that party. And they haven't even had Reynoso yet. One of the most talented players in the history of MLS.
So talented.
And they haven't even used, you know, he hasn't even been around with them. So, yeah, tough task, no doubt. Mario, episode 4, holy cow, in the books. Can you believe it?
In the books. Yeah. It's going good, man. I'm having a blast. Loving it.
Absolutely. We will talk to you next week. We keep looking forward to it. Hit us up on social media. Let us know what you think, good or bad. We know you love the show. We appreciate it. This is LAFC Plus. He's Mario Ruiz. I'm Dave Denholm. Thank you for joining us.